Hello, I'm Charles Kobes, Australasia's passion provocateur. Welcome to this week's episode of the Charles Kobes Show. In this week's show, the one big idea is ESG, the circular economy, hemp, and you. What's the link between these four concepts? What are you going to consider doing about ESG and the circular economy? What does that actually mean? And if you do make a decision, you can create significant transformation in the world when you understand the role of industrial hemp and these two concepts. But are you willing to keep thinking and to keep an open mind? This weekly show is founded on the formula SA plus P equals S. Your self-awareness plus passion equals your success. Since 1993, I have been a professional speaker, a passion provocateur, provoking, inspiring, educating audiences about the value, the power, the amazing resources that become available when you harness passion. I speak at conferences, I run workshops, individual coaching, team coaching. The ideas I share have changed significant numbers of lives. I hope this show helps you in the steps you need to take to change your life in the ways that you want it to change. Now, talking about change, I think we need a bit of humour at the start of this show this week and a bit of psychological humour. This joke came across my desk. The elevator in our building malfunctioned one day, leaving several of us stranded. Seeing a sign that listed two emergency phone numbers, I dialed the first and explained our situation. After what seemed to be a very long silence, the voice on the other end said, "I don't know what you expect me to do for you. I'm a psychologist." "A psychologist," I replied. "Your phone is listed here as an emergency number. Can't you help us?" "Well," he finally responded in a measured tone, "how do you feel about being stuck in an elevator?" There you are. We're in the psychological games here in terms of the big ideas that can change our lives. This show is also guided by Socrates' famous quote, "The unexamined life is not worth living." I hope this show provokes you to examine your life. And I hope when you look into my books, Passionate People Produce and Passionate Performance, that helps to provoke you to change your life, to keep moving forward. As Anthony Robbins says, progress is happiness. You can see I'm wearing my red jacket. Red, the color of passion. When you see red, I want you to think passion, but particularly I want you to think whether you're pursuing your own passion. And regular listeners and viewers will know that I share one big idea because I don't want to bombard you, but I will add additional resources after we have explored the one big idea that will help you reinforce the principles of that one big idea, of the role that you can play in ESG, the circular economy, and the role of industrial hemp. This show is not politically correct. It certainly supports certain addictions like coffee. I love coffee. A new Nespresso machine, a Virtuo, I think it's called, is just doing wonderful things. Well done, Julie, for discovering it. This show also subscribes to the view that we have a soul, a spirit, a heart. So there are spiritual matters in this show. We are much more than just our bodies and our minds. So what's happened in the past week? Well, the Victorian government, here where I live in Victoria, part of Australia, disclosed its budget, and it disclosed that the state debt within 4 years would be $155 billion. Now, Jeff Kennett, a former premier, of this state. Daniel Andrews is the current Premier, has been for 6 years, a disastrous Premier in my view. But Geoff Kennett, a former Premier, and many Premiers, you know, aren't so, you know, direct. They're quite diplomatic. And you know the definition of a diplomat. A diplomat is a person who tells you to go to hell in such a way that you're looking forward to the journey. Geoff Kennett wrote an article in the Herald Sun this week, and I want to quote some paragraphs from it because it's very relevant to this ridiculous explosion in debt. Well, I consider it ridiculous. It so happens that Geoff Kennett does as well. He said this, "So Victoria and New South Wales have both had their credit ratings downgraded. On hearing the news, I was bitterly disappointed and saddened. Yet another Labor government simply wants to borrow money without any concern of the cost to future generations. Be assured the debt of $155 billion that has been projected will continue to rise. Victoria has simply not the revenue base to start reducing that debt for at least 5 to 10 years, if at all. It is not correct for the Treasurer, Tim Pallas, to say with interest rates so low, this is a good time to borrow. One must still borrow within the means to repay the debt over time. The politicians," writes Geoff, "in government now will not be in office when the impact of their mismanagement really affects Victorians. Future governments will be totally hamstrung by what they inherit. Many Victorians will leave the state to find work and opportunity. Those of us who remain will be increasingly taxed and burdened by Daniel Andrews' government's gross mismanagement and failures. We are in this position today because Daniel Andrews so stuffed up the hotel quarantine issue that we have had the worst second wave of any state. Not only more than 800 lives lost, but thousands of businesses closed. Senior ministers and public servants had collective amnesia when before the useless inquiry that was meant to establish the truth as to who was responsible for the hiring of the security services employed to man the hotels. Collective amnesia," Geoff says. "Do the Premier or any of his ministers know what they are doing? Will they, if held to account, say they simply do not remember what they did? In another example of hopeless oversight, every infrastructure project currently being built is behind time and over budget. Now the Premier is announcing new projects for which the business case has not been done or established." Now, this article goes on. It is a scathing article, a beautiful summary for those of you who are interested in understanding what is going on, what is projected, the wastage of money from mismanagement. Geoff Kennett, the former Premier, finishes this article in the following way. "By the time we get to the next state election, we will all be in a terrible state. Ministers will have resigned from Parliament rather than be defeated, but they will always carry the shame for what they have allowed to have occurred. Andrews has just destroyed almost 30 years of hard work and growth, but worse, he has crippled the futures of your grandchildren and their children." Pretty strong words. Food for thought by you. Now, that also ties in this question that has been in the media during the week of MMT. I urge you to take an interest in that. That's modern monetary theory. And there's an argument that the Victorian government would be saying is, oh no, when the governments print money, then you can't borrow too much money, just keep spending. We shall see. Will the piper need to be paid at the end of the day? As you all know, many, many governments around the world are hopelessly indebted, and yet the world goes on. So what does it actually mean to have vast amounts of debt? On the other hand, you look at Venezuela as a basket case in management. All difficult issues, all requiring our attention and our thinking. And we let go of the interest in such matters at our own peril. Because if you don't understand what's going on, how on earth can you make decisions about your own life? The other thing I want to mention that's happened during the week is China has added more tariffs onto Australian wine. The conflict between Australia and China continues to escalate. Ironically, I'm going to a Chinese function tonight in Melbourne. But the one thing I want to bring to your attention is that the poor Australian winemakers whose export markets have evaporated because of ridiculous tariffs put on wine coming into China, we will have to do our part. So I urge all wine-drinking Australians to increase their drinking budget by $200 each per annum. That's only $4 a week. Drink more wine and be a true patriot. There's my humorous but serious thought for you. The other thought that I wish to share with you that's happened during the week is publication of numbers of coronavirus cases from Europe and America. Let me say to you that publication of such numbers is meaningless. Still, the World Health Organization says 99.5% of those people who are diagnosed with coronavirus have zero or mild symptoms. This is not a deadly, dangerous virus. And finally, on the week in review, I have been passionately, methodically, systematically continuing to train every day. And the good news is that swimming pools have opened in Melbourne, so it's about time I got into the swimming and not just doing the bike riding. Julie also continues to do her exercise. I hope you are as well. Now, it's time for today's big idea. Before I go there, I urge you to visit our websites, covest.com. That's for corporate programs, executive coaching, workshops for your teams, and charlescovest.com that is focused on the self-awareness and passion quest. Please subscribe to this podcast or the YouTube channel, and please, if you think it's of value, share it amongst your networks. We would be most grateful. I would be most grateful. Now, for today's big idea, ESG, the circular economy, industrial hemp, and you. Time for another sip of coffee before I get in the big idea. ESG is a global movement. Discussions around the circular economy, a global movement. ESG stands for environmental, social, and governance elements of running an enterprise. The circular economy is about recycling, is about biodegradability of materials, is about reducing waste, is about the reuse of raw materials. These two concepts, ESG and circular economy, you will see in the media very often. I want you to understand broadly what it means. Companies are having pressure put on them by shareholders, by activists, to reduce their environmental impact, to behave in a socially responsible way, to govern their teams and their own behavior in ways that will be acceptable to, one would say, to current standards of corporate behavior. Now, there are some activists pushing certain issues, but let's just accept that we are on, as I said earlier, a progressive course. We're progressing. We're human beings. We progress. And when we are progressing, we are happy. So this is a global movement, and the circular economy is a global movement. If you take an interest in these matters, then when you have to make decisions, it will help you to make decisions about your own life, about your company's behavior, about educating your children on certain matters, and changing your own behavior. But it requires you to think. So I want to give you some thinking material. I am, as part of my work, not just Australasia's passion provocateur, but I am CEO of a company heavily involved with industrial hemp, textile and composite industries. And I want to tell you about industrial hemp, because industrial hemp is a broad acre crop that makes a positive difference on environmental, social, and governance issues, and also the circular economy. There are 10 significant advantages of industrial hemp. It is environmentally clean. It enables efficient and significant carbon sequestration. It requires minimal, often zero, use of chemicals, pesticides, and fertilizers. It uses significantly less water than comparable crops. Industrial hemp improves and rejuvenates soil for farmers. Automatically, 4 tons per hectare of root matter is put into the soil and it breaks down very quickly and rebuilds the soil. It is reasonably easy to grow for farmers who want to take on a new profitable crop. It is a natural antibacterial, anti-mold material. I'm wearing a hemp t-shirt. Do you know that t-shirts made of hemp can be worn by you for 4 weeks with no wash and no smell because it's a natural antibacterial? It's an amazing material. For those of you who have had hemp products in the past, hemp products are getting better. Hemp textiles are getting better. And you can buy hemp products from more and more places from all around the world. Hemp generates excellent profits for farmers. And farmers being successful on their farms is a crucial element to our society. You can add value to hemp in a vast range of ways. There's over 25,000 different products you can make from hemp. And lastly, each region that grows hemp can produce specific value-added products that is good for that region, that taps into the skills and the talents of that region. So industrial hemp is an amazing crop, and I'm passionate about hemp because I can see the ESG impact and the circular economy impact, as well as the magnificent benefits it brings to farmers. I urge you to start thinking about these issues. I urge you to start thinking about whether ESG and circular economy means something to you. I urge you to start reading about industrial hemp, taking an interest in it. And I urge you to think about how you spend your money. With Christmas coming, many children end up with 10, 20 Christmas presents because they're so cheap. But many of those presents are simply crap. They are just stocking fillers. We're handing out stuff to people. You know, we're helping retailers. It's said that retailers are the engine room of the economy. But those retailers are stocked with crap, cheap, bulky, that creates vast amounts of waste. So one of the issues in your life is to make this decision, are you buying crap? And if you say, I'm worried about the planet, I'm worried about use of resources, then stop buying crap. In all of this sustainability conversation, be assured, I do not consider that climate change is caused by us human beings. However, I'm passionate about caring for this planet. I'm passionate about not throwing waste into the rivers, into the soil. We have an organic farm in our family that we've had for 44 years. We've had no chemicals on that property in 44 years. So I'm committed to causing minimal harm to the planet, but I'm not panicking with the thought that our behaviour is causing climate change. So, are you going to start thinking about these issues of ESG, the circular economy, the role that hemp can play, and the role that you can play? And each one of us that plays a role in sharing these ideas and changing our behaviour can transform our community, our society, the planet. We can create a different future compared to where we are presently headed. If you think about an aeroplane flying in a particular direction, a 1 degree shift in its direction after an hour of flying causes a massively different destination. So that's it for this week's big idea. And the book that I want to recommend to you that flows from that is published by the Institute of Public Affairs. It's called Climate Change, The Facts 2020. If you don't want to be railroaded by other people who don't know what they're talking about, and if you want to recommend to somebody, hey, have a read of a book with a string of expert contributors to this book, then get hold of this book so that you can speak with authority and, more importantly, educate yourself to help your thinking. The song of the week. Can you guess what it is? With ESG and the circular economy and hemp coming along, I think you deserve a guitar. Okay, now for the song of the week by Bob Dylan. And I thought I'd give you a special treat this week. A real guitar. The song goes like this. Come gather round people wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept them that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you'd better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone, for the times they are a-changin'. Come senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't block out the hall. For he that gets hurt will be he who has stalled. There's a battle outside and it's raging. It'll soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the times they are a-changing. Senators and congressmen, it was a U.S. song. Last paragraph, important. The line it is drawn, the curse it is cast, the slow one now will later be last, and the present now will later be past. The order is rapidly changing, and the first one now will later be last, for the times they are a-changing. So, the times are a-changing. Are you changing your thinking? I hope my singing and guitar playing didn't offend your ear sensibilities too much. It reminds me of the quote for this week. I think it's by Henry Ford. I use it in my workshops. Thinking is the hardest work there is. That's why so few people engage in it. And Jerry Seinfeld, I was listening to an interview of him for an hour and a half by Tim Ferriss. Jerry Seinfeld said, writing is the hardest work there is. And when you think about it, you need to think to be able to write. Isn't that an interesting thought? Writing is difficult. Stop thinking that it's easy. And if you want to write, you have to do the work. I have to do the work. I've done a lot of writing over the years. I continue to do it. But it was wonderful to hear Jerry talk about the challenges and difficulties of the writing process. Also applies to the thinking process. And there's another quote on thinking that I think is quite useful. The mind is like a parachute. It only operates when it's open. So the fact that you're listening to this show, watching this show, means you have got somewhat of an open mind. My health tip for you is to walk on bare ground every day. Let your feet and your energy rejuvenate your body through the energy of the earth. This is on grass, on dirt, not on concrete, barefoot. My spiritual tip for the day is to help you in your thinking process, spend 30 seconds to a minute just looking into your own eyes in a mirror. See what that experience is like for you. Looking straight into your eyes. Lastly, my final bit of humour. The last bit of humour that is relevant to thinking differently. And I love this story about a Russian Jew who was finally allowed to emigrate to Israel from Russia at the Moscow airport. Customs found a Lenin statue in his baggage and asked, "What is this?" The man replied, "What is this? Wrong question, comrade. You should have asked, who is he?" "This is Comrade Lenin. He laid the foundations of socialism and created the future and prosperity of the Russian people. I'm taking it with me as a memory of our dear hero." The Russian customs officer let him go without further inspection. At Tel Aviv airport, the Israeli customs officer also asked our friend, "What is this?" He replied, "What is this? Wrong question, sir. You should be asking, Who is this? This is Lenin, the bastard who caused me, a Jew, to leave Russia. I take this statue with me so I can curse him every day. The Israeli customs officer said, I apologize, sir, you are cleared to go. Settling into his new house, he put the statue on a table. To celebrate his immigration, he invited his friends and relatives to dinner. One of his friends asked, Who is this? He replied, My dear friend, who is this is the wrong question. You should have asked, What is this? This is 10 kilograms of solid gold that I managed to bring with me without paying any customs duty and tax. Woohoo! The moral of the story? Politics is when you can tell the same stuff in different ways to fool different audiences to allow you to look good in every way. There you are. I hope that makes you think. Thanks for being with me. That's it for the show. I hope this big idea helps you in your life. It provokes you to think about ESG, the circular economy, buying great products from hemp, not buying crap, and looking at your own behavior and thinking about it. I invite you again to visit our websites, covest.com, charlescovest.com, to subscribe to the podcast or the YouTube channel, and to share this show with your friends and your networks. My books are available, Passionate People Produce and Passionate Performance, from both of our websites. And don't forget to subscribe to Passion Points to Ponder, my somewhat irregular musings on matters similar to what I talk about in this show. But if you subscribe to Passion Points, you'll also get an email with a link to this show. Until next week, may your week be full of passion, with plenty of fun, plenty of challenges, and plenty of hard work that you choose to do because you are willing to think. See you next week. Bye. Put both